Hi, I'm Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. I've just returned from the Stroke Society Australasia, where I've had an opportunity to speak to Dr. Ken Butcher.
So what are new frontiers in anticoagulation and atrial fibrillation?
Well, the title of my talk is actually Novel Oral Anticoagulant Use Inside and Outside the Box, and by that I mean I'm going to discuss the experience with dabigatran and the other new or novel oral anticoagulants in Canada since 2010 and how it's changed practice patterns both at the specialty level and at the general practice level. And then I'm also going to discuss some research efforts that we've made at my center aimed specifically at identifying some knowledge gaps with respect to novel oral anticoagulant use in stroke patients.
So what are the knowledge gaps?
So the current knowledge gaps that we're trying to address are initiation of an oral anticoagulant within 14 days of symptom onset. As you know, this has been a long-standing controversy, when to initiate an anticoagulant, whether it be new or traditional anticoagulant after an ischemic stroke due to concerns related to hemorrhagic transformation. And although we have over 70,000 patients of data relating to new oral anticoagulant use, we actually have no data within 14 days of symptom onset after stroke or TIA. So we are currently conducting a registry study assessing the safety of that. My own view is that the intracranial bleed rates of the new oral anticoagulants, and specifically dabigatran, are roughly the same as that of antiplatelet agents, and the safety profile is actually very, very similar in that acute stroke period. In my experience, I've certainly used the drug off-label routinely within 14 days of stroke and TIA, using a selection algorithm based on infarct volume. And I fully expect that our registry study, which is being done across Canada, will actually confirm the safety of this approach. Other treatment gaps are what to do with a patient who presents on a new oral anticoagulant with an ischemic stroke. Can we thrombolyze these patients with lytic agents? The answer, at least with respect to dabigatran, is yes. There are ways to monitor the level of dabigatran activity and dabigatran levels in the bloodstream, specifically the thrombin time, which in our center we've calibrated to allow us to detect or calculate dabigatran levels and determine whether or not it is safe to use a lytic agent or not. And we have successfully used this algorithm in several patients. The other place that monitoring is useful, of course, is in assessing the safety of taking a patient to the operating room or for a procedure while on dabigatran or shortly after dabigatran discontinuation. And again, thrombin time has been very useful there. The other novel oral anticoagulants are a little bit trickier. You actually have to do a factor 10A activity assay, which is a little bit more difficult, but also can be done. The other place that monitoring may be relevant is, of course, the patient who presents with bleeding related to a new oral anticoagulant, although arguably that's fairly academic, as you simply want to treat the bleed. As you know, none of the new oral anticoagulant agents have a specific reversal agent at present, although these are being developed. And this is often held up as one of the objections by people who are not early adopters, such as myself, for using these agents using the new agents. And it's really based on a misunderstanding, the idea that warfarin is in fact reversible, when in fact reversal of warfarin-related activity, anticoagulant activity, is actually quite difficult and has never been shown to actually change clinical outcomes in any type of bleeding, including intracranial bleeding. Nonetheless, we do have an empiric approach based on factor replacement, which is designed to overwhelm in the case of warfarin, the vitamin K activity, a vitamin K antagonist activity. And in the case of the new oral anticoagulants, we are really applying the same empiric approach. In the case of dabigatran, we have successfully treated NOAC-related bleeding with another blood factor replacement product called FIBA. which is essentially an activated form of PCC or prothrombin complex concentrate. And I'll show a case of successful bleeding cessation and good outcome after treatment with Viva. And the final thing that I'll be talking about at this meeting is some truly out-of-the-box use of new oral anticoagulants, and specifically dabigatran, in patients without confirmed atrial fibrillation early after stroke. And we've recently completed a pilot study assessing the safety of treating unselected patients with TIA and minor stroke with dabigatran for 30 days. And the rationale there is that we're trying to prevent early recurrent stroke, which we now know is actually a major problem. TIA and minor stroke used to be thought of as a benign syndrome, when in fact it is not. Recurrence rates approach double digits by 30 days. And we know that a significant number of these are related to recurrent thromboembolism, and in some cases, probably about 30%, it's actually related to occult paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, which just hasn't been confirmed or detected yet. And this treatment approach, rather than using antiplatelets, gives us 30 days of protection and time to fully investigate the patient. And if we can show that the bleed rates are the same as aspirin, which to this point we have, then this may be actually a viable approach in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Dr. Ken Butcher and Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. This podcast is a collaboration between the Stroke Society Australasia and the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.